tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 21st of August 2026 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, normally we would have Grandpa Dan with us today, but unfortunately he had an urgent appointment this morning, so he's unable to be here. Hopefully he will be back next week, so you just have me presenting a solo show today. But we do have an interesting subject to get into. We're going to do the same subject that I was going to cover with Grandpa Dan, because it's particularly current, I think. If I kept it until next week, everybody else would have heard about it by then. And it's a British news story, and it's about new guidance that has been handed out to asylum seekers. And it's in the form of posters and flyers, booklets, and it's quite amazing that the British government have actually done this. It's hard to believe that when you actually see it for what it is. The headline and the source we're using is GB News. The headline says, Home Office hands illegal migrants alarming guide on how not to rape women in Britain. And most people would think it was quite obvious that you shouldn't rape a woman. And it's not something naturally that the indigenous British people would do, is it? But this leaflet appears to be saying that these migrants are coming from countries where it is acceptable to do that. And the government, instead of preventing these migrants coming in, migrants that come from these countries where it's acceptable to do this, instead of preventing them from coming in, they're effectively giving them a leaflet telling them not to do this. The guidance highlights child rape is illegal, even if they look older or if it is allowed in another country. And these are the sort of excuses that are used by these migrants when they're in the dock after raping somebody. They will say they thought they were older. It's not a crime to do this in the country that they are from, even though in most of these countries it is a crime on the books, but it's just not enforced. I mean, one of the reasons why we can't deport the grooming gang rapists back to Afghanistan or Pakistan is because they would be hanged there for sexual crime, for rape. They would be hanged. But law is not actually enforced in those countries, but it would be if somebody had been found guilty of it over here. Over there they wouldn't be found guilty of it, but because they actually have this conviction against them in Britain, then that would be held against them in that country, and that's the reason why we can't deport them. Now we know that child rape is almost institutionalized in Afghanistan with Bakabazi, which is the rape of young boys, effectively street boys. Something like 90% of them have been raped. It's a horrendous statistic. It's a great national shame for Afghanistan that this went on. I did a podcast covering this. And when NATO were there, they effectively protected these paedophiles because the Taliban hanged them. The Taliban tried to do away with this Bakabazi issue. And when NATO went in there, they literally promoted the people that were engaged in this to being the head of police. So the police force were actually doing that. So it was tolerated. And British troops that knew about this wanted to put a stop to it. And they were told, no, they can't put a stop to it. It's part of these cultural practices. And these are our allies. It's one of the reasons why some people actually left the army. It's because they were protecting these paedophiles. So it really should be no surprise that when people from those countries come to Britain, this sort of thing follows them around. Child rape, child grooming, even murder has gone on at these hotels horrifically. I mean, it doesn't actually say, oh, well, you shouldn't murder people. That's illegal in Britain in this document. But it does say that raping children is not allowed, even though it might be in your own country, or even if they do look older. And it's quite amazing, really, that these migrants think that that could be used as a defence in court. Oh, well, the person looked older. Well, it doesn't matter if somebody looks older. If they were under the age of consent, then it's statutory rape, regardless of what they look like. The judge isn't going to sort of size up the victim and say, well, does she look over 16 or not? I mean, the fact is, if they're under 16, then it's statutory rape. The Home Office has today published a guide for illegal migrants on how not to rape women in Britain. It is just one of the resources available in a collection titled Understanding Behaviours and Expectations in the UK, a Guide for Asylum Seekers. And there are already memes about this online. I saw a good one this morning which was saying cannibalism is not allowed in Britain. Don't eat people. Obviously, you could say, well, murder's not allowed in Britain either. Don't murder people. We have yet to actually have any of these migrants eating another human being, but we have seen them eating the wildlife in Britain. There's one image that I keep seeing, and it's this woman in a burqa capturing a seagull. And people are saying, oh, she's captured that seagull to eat it. But I think that's got to be AI, to be honest, because seagulls are going to be haram, aren't they? They're going to be against the Islamic food laws to eat. So I find it very doubtful that a woman in a burqa would be capturing a seagull in order to eat it. So you do have to be careful with the some of the stuff that you see online. Posters and information on rape, the age of consent and child abuse are among the guides to help asylum seekers understand what is expected when living in the UK. And of course, up to this point, most people think that what is expected when living in the UK is what's going to be expected all around the rest of the world. We tend to assume that everybody else understands that you should do unto others what you would wish them to do unto you. But of course, that's that golden rule, as we call it, that's pretty much unique to white people. That doesn't exist elsewhere. Even in highly advanced countries, it doesn't exist. And this general idea that, oh, well, if you had a reason to do whatever it is that you did, then that's defence. You had a reason to do it. That person had done something to you, so you did something back to them. There is a reasonable reason for doing it, so why should I be punished for it? And that's generally the sort of attitude that you see amongst these other peoples. Like, for instance, in Africa, they never had a system of law in Africa. What would happen, according to these reports from these explorers that went into Africa and looked at the people that were living there, like one village would attack another village, and the village that was attacked would then go and attack a completely different village. Not the one that had attacked it. I mean, this wasn't about justice. This was just about, well, they took from me, so I'll go and take from somebody else. This idea that if you hurt somebody, you are actually hurting society. For instance, if you stole from an individual in Western society, that's taken as, well, you're stealing that from society. You should be punished by society. Whereas other races might look at that and say, well, it's the person that was stolen from is the person that is aggrieved, not anybody else. It's not up to anybody else to intervene there. It's not up to the state to intervene there. This is between the person that stole it and the person that was stolen from. And in a way, this is the way that things are looked at under Sharia law as well. Rather than it being a crime against society, for instance, if somebody murders somebody else, then that family, the family of the person that was murdered, can say, well, we would like X amount of money and then we won't press charges, because the offence is seen as between the murderer or the killer, because it could have been manslaughter, and the victim's family. It's not seen as an actual crime against society or a crime against the state. It's seen as a crime against one person, and it's up to that one person to say whether they want it to be prosecuted or not. So there's different, completely different ways of actually looking at law that exist. And we just tend to assume, as white people, we just tend to assume that other races think the same way as we do, or and are capable of thinking in the same way that we do. And I don't think the evidence shows us that some of these other races are capable of thinking in the way that we do. They might give a good representation of understanding things the way that we do, but I'm not quite sure that they fully do, especially not when you actually look at what's actually said when these people are in the witness box, when you look at the fact that in Africa, in the Zulu language, if you look at the Zulu English dictionary, there are no words for any abstract ideas. Abstract ideas just do not exist in the Zulu language, which, if you don't actually have a word for something, then it can be very difficult to actually think in that way. So it sort of says that Zulus in particular are going to have difficulty understanding things such as the golden rule. Put yourself in another person's shoes. How would that feel? I mean, that's an abstract idea. That's putting yourself in somebody else's shoes. And it looks like it's not possible for them if you say, well, if they don't actually have a word for that, for abstract thought, then it doesn't actually exist for them. And we get a lot of problems because of this. And I was just having a conversation recently with somebody the other day in the chat room, saying that we expect black people to be able to think in the same ways that we do. We expect them to be able to do the same things that we do. And then when they have difficulty with it, it looks like they're being lazy or they're not working hard enough. And they're going to think, well, there's something wrong with me because I can't do things as well as white people. And what's the reason for this? And it's very tempting to think, well, white people are being racist, and that's the reason why we're not so good at achieving these things. And it would be much better if people were just actually told the statistics, and black people were told, well, look, you're not a white man. You have a different general IQ, a different average IQ. You have different ways of doing things. And yes, it is going to be more difficult for you to do maths equations. It is going to be more difficult for you to read and write. And the reason for that is because you're a completely different race, effectively. And you have different strengths and you have different weaknesses. And you shouldn't expect to be able to do the same things as white people. But we don't. We say everybody is the same. And as a result of that, our government lets these people into our country who are quite clearly not the same as us and that are likely to rape and murder and child abuse. And when they do that, instead of saying we need to stop these people coming into the country, we say, well, we'll give them a little leaflet telling them that they shouldn't really be doing this in Britain and it's against the law. And I don't think the law is going to stop them. I think if you have somebody from a country, for instance, where all the women are covered up from head to toe in a burqa, and they've literally never seen a female face before, how are they ever going to have learnt to control their sexual urges upon seeing a woman? And then they can come to Britain or Europe, and in the summer, and they can see women walking around in bikinis, for instance, and they're going to think that woman is just walking around naked, and they're going to think that woman is not even attended by a man. So she wants a man, and their sexual urge will take over. They will abduct the woman, rape the woman, and afterwards they'll feel very bad about it, and they'll feel guilt, and they will feel that it was the woman's fault. She clearly wanted that to happen because she was walking around naked. Surely she must know that a man has sexual urges, and if she didn't want a man to rape her, then she shouldn't be walking around like that. And that's the way that they would look at this, and they would see themselves as being the victim. And that's what we see when they're actually in court. They do see themselves as being the victim in this. They don't see the person that they raped as actually being the victim. And instead of preventing this from happening by saying, well, we don't want to allow these people into our country at all, we just give this leaflet out. And the excuse is, well, it's not all of them that do this. But if you had a sweetie jar, for instance, and one of the sweeties contained cyanide, would you say, well, it's okay, we can have that sweetie jar, we can sell that sweetie jar, we can have that sweetie jar on the table and people can eat from it because it's only one of them? that's going to kill you. The rest of them are all okay. I mean, you would say, well, we don't want that sweetie jar, do we? I mean, when supermarkets think that there might be some ground up glass, for instance, in baby food or something like that, they withdraw every piece of baby food from the shelving. But when we have something like this, we say, well, we can't blame all of them because it's only a few of them that are going to do this. It's not all of them. We shouldn't really be punishing everybody. But the fact is, we should be putting our people first and protecting our people. Preventing our people from being raped and murdered is more important than hurting the feelings of people that come from these other countries. And the fact that the government are doing this is really an insult, because it's saying, well, we understand that there is a heightened risk of rape and sexual assault and even murder. We understand there is this increased threat level with these people, but we're not going to prevent them from coming into the country. We'll just make sure that they know that this is illegal. Whereas, as I say, illegality, I don't think it really comes into these people's heads, whether it's legal or illegal, when they rape someone. They just cannot control the sexual urge that they have. The thought that it's legal or illegal isn't going to prevent them from doing this. And some people have pointed out that it might actually leave the government open to being sued by these victims, because this is the government admitting that there is this increased threat amongst these people. And the government that could therefore be sued for allowing people that they knew were likely to do something like this and allowing them into the country. The guidance highlights child rape is illegal, even if they look older, or if it is allowed in another country. And I say child rape there, as I say, that goes on in Afghanistan. You also have the horrific instance of baby rape that goes on in Africa, where they think that if you rape a baby, then that will cure you of AIDS. Horrific things like that which go on there, which may well start happening in Britain if we continue to allow these people to come over here. When discussing child abuse, it explains it is against the law to physically hurt, shout at, or threaten a child and deny them food, clothes, shelter, or care. And I'm just amazed that they feel that it is necessary to say, oh, it's against the law to do this. Because as a white man, you would just assume that people would just know that it's wrong to hurt children, threaten children, deny them food, clothes, shelter, or care. You just instinctively know that it's wrong to do that to children. Children are the weakest members of our group. And yet here the government is saying this group of people here, these asylum seekers, they need to be told that it's against the law to do this, because they don't. And the only thing that you can think from that is it must be because they instinctively do not understand that it is wrong to do this. So again, the government are admitting that these people are actually a huge threat to our people. They have to be told that it's against the law to physically hurt children. It also explicitly tells foreigners that female genital mutilation, where a person cuts or harms a girl's genitals, is forbidden in Britain. And this is another recent phenomenon, is that you have these black African girls who have had female circumcision, and most of the time it goes on in Africa. And they will take the person to Africa, and the surgery is carried out in Africa, the mutilation is carried out in Africa, and then they come back to Britain. And it's something that's never existed in white society. And we've now imported this into our society. And we teach these black Africans that our culture is correct. And of course, then when their family wants them to get this done, it causes splits in the family, because these are cultural practices for some black African groups. It's ingrained in their culture. And yet their children are going to schools where they're being told that that's wrong. So we're effectively messing up their own cultural links to their own people group by doing this. We split up families with the information that we give these children at school, and so many cases it actually conflicts with their culture. It's like when we say, oh well, it's completely wrong for arranged marriage, and that's against the law. But arranged marriage is pretty much the system in large parts of the world. India, for instance, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Muslim countries, arranged marriage is the way that things are done. And yet when these children go to school over here, they're taught that this is not the way that things are done, and that you should fall in love with somebody and then you should get married, rather than get married first and then fall in love with them second, which is effectively the way that marriage was for centuries, thousands of years. Even in Britain, it was you get married first and then you fall in love. It was all arranged up until, I don't know, 100 years ago, 150 years ago. It's still arranged marriage with royalty, or it used to be. I think the last arranged marriage was Charles and Diana. So we tell them that arranged marriage is wrong, and then they go to our schools and they're taught that, no, it's a good thing. And again, it turns the children against the parents, and it splits the families up. And you can see why these families would have a resentment against Britain and against the Western world for doing this, for teaching their children the opposite of what they want to teach them. But the problem is they're living in Western countries, and in Western countries, these are the things that we think. We think that it is wrong, so we're going to teach them that it's wrong. And it ends up splitting up their family. And when you look at it, multiculturalism doesn't just harm white people, it harms non-whites as well. In that way, it splits up their families, and also it makes these people resent white people. I mean, they might not resent white people if they're living in Africa. They might think white people are pretty good, actually. Look what they've done for our continent. But as soon as they come over to Britain and their children end up going to school and being taught that this is wrong, and then they want them to go back to Africa to have the circumcision ritual, and it splits the family up, and the girl has to be taken into custody and hidden from her family for the rest of her life, and they're going to end up hating the British people for this. And I think there have been very few actual prosecutions of this female genital mutilation, and that's because police don't really want to go near it, because it's a cultural practice. It's sort of unspoken of that large numbers of I think it's Somali women have actually had this surgery done to them, and we have quite a sizable population of Somalis that are living in Britain. It must be a large number of them that have had this done, but there are very, very few actual prosecutions of this. And there would always be the accusation of, yes, well, this is a cultural practice, so you're discriminating against us by making this cultural practice illegal. Describing the serious crime of rape, the Home Office describes what consent is. In the UK, both people must say yes to sex. This is called consent. And this reminds me of the fact that in Africa, they didn't have a different word for rape. It was the same word for sex as for rape, because this idea that the woman must actually consent did not exist until Westerners went over there. Now it exists and they have this huge rape problem. But that's effectively because we've told them that's rape. That's wrong. Whereas in Africa, it's not seen as wrong to do that. In fact, in Nigeria, they literally have a rape festival where any female that is found on the streets can be raped. And the West calls it a fertility festival. But the girls there know that if they don't want to be raped, they have to stay indoors and not go out on the streets when this festival is on. So the fact that they have a festival of rape just shows you that this idea of consent and consent to sex, it's a Western idea. It's not an idea that existed in these other countries until Western people went there. And yet we look at these things and we think, oh well, it's just common sense. I mean, you shouldn't do anything unless the other person consents to it. But that's not the way that it's looked at in these other countries. The government department adds that it is still rape if you are married to the person or in a relationship, and if a person agreed once but changed their mind. And this is because in Muslim countries, you cannot actually rape the person that you are married to, because when they get married, that woman is giving their consent to having sex with her husband. So it's considered that it's rape just doesn't occur. Now, I've pointed out in the past, I've said, well, if you look at the number of rapes that go on in these Muslim countries, it's much lower than what happens in the West. And that's because these women are covered up all the time, so they don't have a problem with rape. And the person that I was saying it to said, oh, yes, but they have lots of rape within marriage, which, of course, is not considered to be rape in Muslim countries. The woman doesn't consent, but she's your wife. That's not considered to be rape. Whereas in Britain, it is considered to be rape. And there is an argument to be made that when a woman consents to marry the husband, the actual wedding vows, they used to be interpreted in Britain in that way as well, that the woman was actually consenting to having sex in her marriage vows. So it was not possible to actually rape your wife effectively because she was your wife. But over the last 100 years, they have changed that. So there are some cultural practices, which, such as arranged marriage and this idea that you couldn't actually rape your wife. I mean, both of those things did exist in white society in the past, but not this idea that just raping women was okay or raping children was okay. That's never existed in the West that I'm aware of. They are warned breaking these rules could lead to prison, the loss of their support and accommodation, and an adverse effect on their asylum claim. And something that people used to say, I mean, it might be a bit vulgar, but they used to say that a standing cock has no conscience. And that effectively meant that if a man was aroused, then he might end up sleeping with somebody that he would very much regret sleeping with the next day, is effectively what that means. And I think that applies here. I think with asylum seekers thinking, oh, I could end up in prison for this, or I could lose my support and accommodation, I don't think they would think that far. They would just be thinking, I am aroused, this woman has aroused me, she does not have a male attendant with her, so she is clearly asking for it, she's given her a consent because she does not have a man with her, so I will just take it because she's offering it. And I think that's the way that they think when these sorts of things happen. The idea that it could lead to prison, that's a secondary issue, because that's something that's going to happen in the future. If you have difficulty thinking of abstract ideas, then the idea of something could happen to you in the future is you're not going to be able to think like that. It's difficult enough for them to think that something's going to happen immediate, like an immediate punishment, rather than things will happen in the future. And in Africa, they would say that somebody who carries out a crime has to be punished straight away. They have to be beaten, or they have to be whipped straight away. And that was the way that the African police look at things. And that's because the idea that somebody might be punished in the future for something they did months previously is completely alien to them. It's as if they're not going to be punished. And if they're not going to be punished straight away, they haven't been punished. And then when they are punished 6 months later, say, after it goes through the courts, they don't understand why they are being punished, because they see it that they haven't done anything wrong. And this event happens 6 months ago, and I wasn't punished then, so why am I being punished now? So this idea of being able to actually think of things in the future is very difficult for Africans to do. This is one of the reasons why they don't maintain things, why South Africa is falling apart. The electricity supply, for instance, everything's falling apart because they don't maintain it. Because if something is working, why would you mess with it? Why would you tinker with it if it's working? If it breaks down, yes, you try and fix it. But if it's working, then you just leave it alone. And that's the way they look at it. Maintaining things, again, is to prevent something happening in the future. And that's an abstract idea. And they're going to have difficulty with thinking of that. So telling them that they might go to prison for this, they know that that's not going to happen straight away. And it's going to be difficult for them to think, well, that might happen at some point in the future. Reform UK's spokesman for Home Affairs, Zia Yousaf, wrote on social media, This is one of the most insane things I have ever seen. He added, the government is handing out guides to illegal migrants, training them not to rape women, not to beat women, have sex with children, or leave babies alone. The political class are knowingly enabling the assault of our women and girls at your expense. And that is effectively what this leaflet is saying. They're saying we know that these people have a heightened risk of carrying out these actions, and instead of preventing them from coming into the country or deporting them, we're just going to tell them that at some point in the future there might be a negative result if they carry out any of these actions. As I say, I think it might well be lead the government open to being sued, because they are admitting that there is this risk that isn't there with other groups. As I've said before, legal migration, the problem is with the numbers displacing us. It's a problem with quantity, the number of people that are coming over and the number of white people that it's replacing. And with illegal immigration, it's a quality problem. It's the fact that there is this heightened risk around them of sexual assaults taking place, violence, murder, all sorts. If we look at the numbers of sexual assaults in Dorset, for instance, that are carried out by illegal immigrants, they're 550 times more likely to sexually assault someone than the indigenous British population. And that comes from figures that Annunciata Rees-Mogg posted on X a while back, that was given to her by the Dorset police. The Home Office explains, they understand that coming to a new country can be difficult. Highlighting laws and customs in Britain may be different from your home country. And if that's the case and they're claiming asylum, then why would they be coming here anyway? If the laws are different, if the culture is different, would it not be better for them to be amongst their own ethnic group and amongst their own culture? I mean, this is the reason why I said that the Rwanda plan was such a good plan, because it effectively meant that black Africans that were trying to come to Britain that had a massively different culture to their own would go to another African country, which was safe and which would be much closer to their own customs and their own culture, rather than coming to Britain. I mean, you could say the fact that these people are coming to Britain just proves from the start that they're not genuine asylum seekers, because they're going somewhere with a completely different culture, completely different rules, completely different everything that's vastly different to where they come from. And you wouldn't do that if your primary motive was to keep your people safe. The booklet explains what domestic abuse is and why it is important to treat men and women equally. And again, you're allowed to hit women in Islam, and that is something that you used to be able to do in white society. A husband used to be able to physically reprove his wife if she was scolding him, but he was not allowed to leave a bruise bigger than a thumb, which is where you get the idea of the rule of thumb from. I'm not quite sure when that law was changed, probably 100 years ago, 150 years ago. So as I say, there are some things which are similar in law, and there are other things that have never existed in white society. And the fact that they might have existed in white society 150, 200 years ago just shows you how backward these cultures are when actually compared to the West. Chris Philp, MP, the Shadow Home Secretary, said illegal and legal immigrants are coming from places and societies where attitudes towards women are completely incompatible with Western society. Too many are failing to integrate, leaving, frankly, backwards standards to prevail. Well, how can they integrate when they're a completely different ethnicity? How can one ethnic group integrate into another ethnic group? It can't. It's not possible unless they actually lose their ethnic group. And the only way you can lose your ethnic group is if you interbreed with another ethnic group. And what that leads at the end is no ethnic group, effectively. It, lose your heritage. So it's not possible to actually integrate. And you can't integrate one colour into another colour, can you, without losing the original colours? It seems like every day there is another report of an illegal immigrant raping or assaulting women and young girls here. Instead of trying to train these mainly young male illegal immigrants to behave in a civilized way towards women, the Home Office should instead deport them. And he's quite correct in saying that every day we hear about this. There's a news report out today. Two Afghan illegal migrants raped woman at knife point while she was on first date with another man. Yesterday, we heard about an elderly man that was raped by an Eritrean asylum seeker in London. And this scene was seen happening by a woman on a bus, and she called the police. It was happening around about midnight. So it is literally every day that we hear of these rapes occurring, and the government doesn't prevent these people from coming into the country. It doesn't prevent these crimes from happening in the first place. It says that we should just give them instruction that they shouldn't really do this because they might get into trouble if they do. On one page titled Gender Equality, arrivals are told that women can work, study and travel freely in the UK without needing permission from a man. And I guess when they see women walking around unattended, they are thinking, well, that the brother or the husband has given permission for her to go out and go out on her own, even though that might arouse a man. So effectively, this woman's brother or husband is saying that she's allowed to go out and have sex with somebody. And that's how that they would look at it. They would look that they're effectively saying knew that this woman was going out and that might happen, and they didn't go out and accompany them. I mean, the differences in culture is so great between our cultures and theirs. Another page on domestic abuse warns that you could be arrested or go to prison if you carry out physical or emotional attacks on your partner. So you're not allowed to beat your wife. GB News understands these resources were produced for asylum seekers, so there can be no possible misunderstanding of what is expected in Britain. A Home Office spokesperson told GB News, "We expect everyone who comes to the UK to abide by our laws." Well, these people have broken the law by even coming into Britain. They're breaking the law. They're criminals the minute they set foot in the country, because they haven't come in through legal means. They haven't come in through one of our ports with a passport. They've literally broken into the country. So they've broken the law in the first place, and they should be deported. They continue, "If they do not, they will face consequences, including the refusal of their asylum claim and removal from the UK. Returns of failed asylum seekers have reached their highest level since 2010 under this government." And what does that mean? Well, it means they probably returned 60 people instead of 50 people out of the hundreds of thousands, possibly millions, of illegal immigrants that have come into the country since that time. I mean, it must be well over a million that have come in since 2010. And you wonder just how many sexual assaults, rapes, murders would never have happened if it wasn't for our government allowing these people into the country. And the fact that they're now putting out these leaflets which show that they are admitting that this group, there is a heightened risk of these sorts of crimes happening around this group. The fact that they are admitting that they know this, I think it could put them open to being sued when these things happen. Perhaps it's something that the families of these victims should think about, going to a lawyer and seeing whether they can sue the government for allowing these people in. Because the first duty of a government is to protect its people. And our government is negligent. Not just negligent, it's willfully encouraging this by putting these people up in hotels, even though they know that there's going to be a heightened risk of rape, child rape, around them. We even have a heightened risk of child rape amongst legal migrants as well, don't forget, with the grooming gangs. A large number of them are second-generation migrants. They're people of migrant heritage rather than people that just suddenly arrived on these shores. And that's been going on for decades. And every way that you look at it, multiculturalism is just horrendous for everyone all around. And the only reason it continues is because it serves the banks' interests, basically. And until we reform our economic system and get rid of usury, I think it's it will just continue. The best that we can do is tinker around the edges and perhaps put a stop to illegal immigration, perhaps have segregation, segregated communities. If we're going to have multiculturalism, well, how about we have a segregated multicultural country? And I'm sure these other races, ethnic groups would like that as well. I mean, Muslims would rather be living amongst other Muslims. Somalis would rather be living amongst other Somalis rather than all living mixed in together. And they could follow their own culture and their own customs then. And we need to get rid of these laws that we have that prevent us from talking about these subjects. And we need to allow white people to have advocacy groups if you're going to have multiculturalism. It's not like we're asking for anything unreasonable, I don't think. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.